My name is Mahendra Gupte. We get to chapter 2 in the legal aspects of supply chain management. Mercantile and commercial laws. Let's define mercantile law and then understand what it really means. Mercantile law includes the branches of law relating to commerce, industry, and trade. It's an important branch of civil law that is also known as commercial law. The term business law comprises two words, business and law. They are a set of rules that govern how companies work. It covers agreements, contracts, and ways to protect ideas. Let's come to the definition of mercantile law, which includes the branches of law relating to commerce, industry, and trade. So in short, what we are trying to say here is mercantile law governs all the transactions, all the aspects of business that ever happen, whether it is in e-platform commerce, platform or in a manufacturing industry or just plain regular trading. It is an important branch of civil law, which means that all cases under this law will be civil law cases. The term business law, as we all have understood, comprises two words, business and law. So this is where business, while it runs, must run complying to the law. And the law has been made in compliance, or rather to regulate and guide the business activities that happen on a regular basis, whether again it is a commerce business, whether it is a manufacturing, or whether it is trade. And it covers agreements, contracts, and ways to protect ideas. Now let's look at each of them. Agreements and contracts, we understood right from the beginning, where we said that a contract between you and your employer is where it all starts. And of course, we extended those contracts and agreements to suppliers and other stakeholders in the supply chain. And ways to protect ideas? Which ideas? Ideas that are coming out from the manufacturing shop or the R&D of a company. Ideas which come up from the minds of people who are dreamers, who are thinkers, and who come up with different ideas which have always been the differentiator in business. These ideas and that come to people's mind need to be protected. Legal contracts, essential for smooth operations, companies must comply with regulations. Understanding rules, knowledge allows effective management and innovation with less reliance on legal teams. Improves making staff policies, financial planning, and decision making for better market positioning. Legal contracts essential for smooth operations. The reason is we need to understand what are the rights of labor, what are the rights as yourself as an employer on the shop floor, and how to comply to for the benefit of both the employee as well as the employer. If you look at a supervisor's role on the shop floor, he is one of those key persons who is representing management but needs to look after his team. Because if his team is not in support of him, he is not going to achieve much on the shop floor, which again means he will not meet his objectives for the day. Understanding rules, knowledge allows effective management and innovation with less reliance on legal teams. Imagine you are on the shop floor and there is a problem that has come up due to some difference of opinion between two of your team members. Now, knowledge of the law here would and the rules of the management would play a major role and your understanding and interpretation on the shop floor. For this, if you are well versed and well educated in terms of these laws and what are your rights and what is right, what is wrong, and what are the rights of your team members, you would be able to resolve these issues even before they become issues. And that too without going into or trying to get in touch with the legal teams that the company has. Improves making staff policies, financial planning, and decision making for better market positioning. staff policies, what all to offer, what all perks to offer, what all benefits to offer to your staff, besides the regular salary and the bonus, which is a compulsory aspect. We have seen many companies offer free transportation or collect people, pick up people across a city. Now this is sort of a perk that is offered to those employees because they have accepted the contract of working for the company. Mind you, the company has no obligation to do it, but is doing it for the benefit of its employees. It also helps in financial planning. For example, somebody would want to take some loan from the company for a two-wheeler. Let's say a new worker joins the company as a new employee, fresh from college or from his education of ITI or whatever trade he comes from. And because he is located, his residence is located far away, wants to avail a loan facility for a two-wheeler from the company. Now the company would have planned this financially and again put that all, whatever is the offer, that the financial offer that they are making to the employee under the rules and regulations that comply to the law. Again, decision making for better market positioning. We have seen a lot many companies today go against their competitors when they are trying to vie customers and bring them under their fold. But what I have seen in my life is, if you talk bad about somebody else, it does make an impression, but that impression is not long-lasting. Whereas the alternative that I could think of is, why not you improve your product to such an extent that people are attracted to that product rather than your competitor. So instead of putting somebody else down, why not improve yourself and raise your levels to a much higher level rather than trying to compete with somebody at a lower level. Take charge of your own. It empowers individuals and companies, ensuring fair practices in contracts and employment, while fostering transparency, preventing disputes, and promoting responsible business conduct, promoting an empowered and balanced ecosystem. It empowers individuals and companies, ensuring fair practices in contracts and employment. Let us realize the paper or the contract that we signed at the time of our employment has gone into some file which we know is somewhere in our cupboard. But what is more important is remembering what was in that you agreed to comply to the rules of the company, and you have also understood what is fair and what is a fair practice on the shop floor. So what matters really is how you conduct yourself ethically and for the benefit of not only your team but also for your employer. This is what it means, ensuring fair practices in contracts and employment. While fostering transparency, preventing disputes, and promoting responsible business conduct. What does fostering transparency mean? Let people know if they are wrong, they are wrong. And what could be the consequences if things go further bad. At the same time, let them know what happens if things are better and how they could benefit. Now, being transparent here is a subjective aspect because many people wouldn't want to be transparent with the fear that the opposite person may take advantage. But let us understand, at the end of the day, you are an employee similar to another, and it is fair for both of you to be transparent as much as possible. Preventing disputes? Yes, definitely. When you let people see a different perspective and also keep them informed of what is good or what is bad and what is acceptable under law, it does prevent disputes. And promoting responsible business conduct, promoting an empowered and balanced ecosystem. If we promote our product as the best in the industry, and really work towards the quality of that product, improving the image, and try and create a lasting impression with the consumer, our job is done, much more than putting up advertisements on in and around town or on different social media. What does this mean? What does this benefit us? Promoting an empowered and balanced ecosystem. You need to balance out what you need to do, whether you want to spend that big budget on marketing, just putting up advertisements, or use part of that to improve quality such that customers come back for the need of the product and its quality rather than just looking at ads. Compensation concerns. Business law ensures fair wages and benefits, protecting employees' rights and setting standards for employee contracts, anti-discrimination, and workplace rights. Compensation concerns? Definitely. There are minimum wages that are defined, but more than paying those minimum wages, what is important is how much work was done on the job, on the shop floor. I have gone through cases where I had to warn people or the workers that they were not working for the required time. Once that was made to realize and how it was affecting the bigger picture, rather the company and the department, they understood what was their role. But this was quite surprising for me, because I realized that they had, even in spite of working for 4 or 5 years, had not understood their role in the entire process. So while they are protected for fair wages and benefits, it is actually trying to talk to them and protecting their rights and setting standards for employee contracts with absolutely no discrimination whatsoever, irrespective of where they come from, and ensure that each one gets their rights at the workplace. Now this, I feel, is the better part rather than just compliance to a legal aspect. Protect shareholder rights. It safeguards shareholder entitlements, decision-making rights, and prevents management abuses during mergers and acquisitions. What does this mean? Finally, who has financed your business? It is the shareholder. Now, if that shareholder tomorrow withdraws, rather, imagine a situation where a Warren Buffett just sells off the entire shares of that he holds in a company. What happens on the share stock market? The share price drops. But what does it actually mean to the company? It really means an erosion of their image and their standing against their competitors. Now let's come down to the physical aspects. What has happened? It has eroded the brand image, and people start suspecting whether this company is really good, whether their products are really good, and whether what they are claiming as being the best in the industry, is it really true? Now all this is hurting the shareholder, because when he invested 100 rupees per share in your company and he was getting 50 rupees income over that 100 rupee share, he was happy. When that share price has dropped to maybe 110 or 120, he has lost nearly 30% of his earnings. If you look at rather 30 rupees from what he was earning, if you look at it from his aspect, he cannot really do much except sell the shares. But would he want to do it? Finally, why did he invest in the first place? He invested because he wanted benefits, entitlements. And that is where his entitlements come in. Decision making. When the company thinks of merging somebody, some other company, or taking over, acquire another company, the shareholders are informed. As per law, there is a meeting that is to be held where a representative of the shareholders, there's a percentage of number of people to a shareholder representative who vote in favor or against the acquisition or the merger. And that is how we protect, the law protects the shareholders' entitlements. Business formation outlines registration, ownership, and compliance for entities, ensuring proper selection of right form of business and tax adherence. Business formation Let's say today we have so many entrepreneurs coming up with new startups. Now, how do you register? How do you start up that company? Let's say tomorrow after this course, you think of going into starting business. Now, whether that business should be a proprietor owned, that is owned only by you and your family? Or should you have shareholders? Or would you have first stage would be having partners, maybe two friends, three friends coming together and becoming equal partners. And then maybe after at a later stage, you get an investor and become a unicorn, where you have somebody who's investing money in you for a percentage of the profits. The next step would be getting into an NLP, where there is a limited liability company or a partnership company, where the partners have now become legal entities and they have grown to the next level. And then so on and so forth, you become finally a public limited company where you have shareholders and an IPO is announced. So this business formation is governed by law and there are certain conditions that you need to adhere to so that you qualify for that kind of registration or that kind of name, whether it's a private limited company or a public limited company. And of course, once you have selected to be in that category of companies, there are certain taxes and certain laws that you have to adhere to in terms of compliance and also payment of taxes. Terminology, mercantile, commercial and business law are synonymous. What it means is whether somebody says mercantile law, somebody says commercial law, or somebody says business law, they are all meaning the same law. Business person, again, here law defines a business person as any individual, whether he is a sole trader or a company involved in commercial transactions. These transactions, what does a transaction, commercial transaction mean here? A business transaction is nothing else but sale of merchandise. Let's look at the sources of mercantile law. Mercantile law regulates commercial activities in the economy, covering all laws related to commercial transactions in India. A valid agreement, whether express or implied, is essential for these transactions. Regulates commercial activities in the economy, covering all laws related to commercial transactions in India, which means that the mercantile law ensures that there is a compliance and there is a method that you need to follow for all your business activities in the economy so that you don't disturb the economy of the country, as well as you are aware what all laws are related to your business as well as your commercial transactions, which means maybe you have to sell, you have to pay GST at the time of sale, and you can also claim a credit for the GST that you pay when you are purchasing raw materials. A valid agreement, whether express or implied, is essential for these transactions. When a supplier and a buyer get into a business transaction, there is an agreement or a contract which is signed. Now, this is either expressed or implied, which means, what does implied here mean? Implied here means that there may not be a real contract that is signed by both these people, but there are certain conditions that are implied as part of that business transaction. Is essential for these transactions? Yes, this implied conditions as well as the express conditions, that means the written and indicated ones or verbally known, are plus the implied ones are essential for these transactions. Key acts includes the Indian Contract Act of 1872, the Sale of Goods Act of 1930, the Companies Act of 2013. The framework developed with the Indian Contract Act of 1872, leading to additional enactments like the Partnership Act and the Negotiable Instruments Act. What we see here is an improvement or a requirement that kept coming up, and as a result of which, new enactments and new acts were introduced. It starts with the Indian Contract Act of 1872 under the British rule. As things progressed and when we were closer to independence, more so when trade had grown, there was a Sale of Goods Act that came in 1930. And then a Companies Act came in 2013. The Companies Act was not really enacted in 2013. It is the last change that has been enforced in 2013. And the change has been so big that the Companies Act is now known as the Companies Act 2013. The framework developed with the Indian Contract Act way back in 1872 has led to additional enactments like the Partnership Act and the Negotiable Instruments Act, because the Indian Contract Act did not really specify what would happen under a partnership company and how to handle negotiable instruments that is the payment of goods or the payments that take place between two business entities. Sources of mercantile law. The Indian mercantile law has developed from the English mercantile law, heavily influences Indian law, serving as a reference when local provisions are lacking. So what it really means is that in case if you come across a situation tomorrow where your company is involved and under the English mercantile law there is no reference of such a dispute, then the lawmakers would actually go in, or the judge and the solicitors would actually refer to the English law and see what is the provision or whether there is a reference for our dispute in that law, and those conditions and those rules will apply to the dispute. Legislative acts. Indian Parliament enacted laws form a significant part, ensuring uniformity in the legal framework and making the law more relevant to India. So as we see, the English mercantile law was the mercantile law is based on the English mercantile law, as a result of which there needs to be some kind of a customization. Now, how does customization come in for a mercantile law? It comes through Indian Parliament enacted laws, where a bill is passed as a law, and then once it is passed, becomes a law after its date of implementation is decided. Now, this forms a significant part, ensuring uniformity in the legal framework, and is very necessary to ensure that business in India comes under mercantile law and the law makes sense. Judicial decisions. Judges interpret laws, making them relevant to the cases, and the rulings are binding on the case and the lower courts unless overruled by higher courts. What does this mean? We have seen in movies, or you may have read in certain books, that there are cases that are put up in front of the court, and then the advocate or the defense or the prosecutor would say that they refer a case of so and so of the year so and so. What does this mean? This means that this case that is being put up in the court is similar to a case that has happened much earlier, and there was a certain ruling for this aspect or this situation of the case or the entire case. And as a result, the attorney is trying to tell the judge, we need not waste much more time in argument rather than come to a decision. Now this happens, and these cases are recorded, and their outcomes are also recorded, making them relevant to cases, and the rulings are binding. The law says that if there has been a similar case where the judge decides that the circumstances were the same, then he can use that case, the ruling of that case, on the current case in front of him. Or he looks at the new case which is in front of him differently, and then there comes an improvement in the law over the earlier case. Now this decision that he takes or gives rather in this case becomes the binding rule or binding ruling for the case, and all the lower courts would follow that same ruling in similar cases, unless there is a different case or the same case is referred to a higher court and a decision is otherwise. Let's look at the example given. High court decision bind lower courts in its jurisdiction, while Supreme Court rulings bind all courts in India unless revised by a larger bench. The doctrine of precedent ensures uniformity and fairness in justice, as judges rely on past decisions to interpret the law and fill any gaps, preventing similar cases from being judged differently. There have been cases that we have come across, most of the time criminal cases reported in newspapers, where the case has been very different from all other earlier cases. In such situations, the judges and the bench have to actually refer the law and come up with what could be their judgment. They will look at all different aspects, maybe ask the defense and the prosecution for more evidence, for more confirmation of facts. And once that is done, then they would give their judgment. Or else they rely on past decisions, if the case was similar to something that has happened much earlier. And this is how they interpret the law. Then it becomes an easier case and the decision could be a little faster. Of course, if there have been gaps in the earlier case with respect to the current one, then they would look at the case separately. The idea here is nothing else but the court should not be wasting time on trying to look at and trying to create the wheel once again, rather than use the law and its rulings as prescribed in the books of law as per the earlier case. Awareness of law is essential, since ignorance is no excuse. Without it, rights cannot be exercised nor obligations fulfilled. Let's understand this a little with an example. Awareness of law is essential, since ignorance is no excuse. You are in a public place. Can you just start shouting and talking very loudly or start a speech? No, it is not. You cannot. You know, you are aware that the law doesn't permit you to do that. But once you are aware, you will not do it. So, ignorance is no excuse. If somebody is not aware, somebody just keeps shouting. We see that happening on the road. What happened? Somebody calls up the police and the person is taken away. Now this is where he is ignorant of what is the law, or he may be aware but he wants to try and see if there is somebody else who can take action. This is sort of a challenge which is actually futile. Without unawareness of the law, rights cannot be exercised nor obligations fulfilled. We are all aware that most of the time it is when you are looking for a parking space, it is first come first serve basis. But if there is a regulated parking lot, the attendant at the parking lot allots you a place where you can park, or if it is totally vacant, he says you can park anywhere. But what happens when the parking lot gets full? Then you have to wait till either car vacates and then you go and park, because you cannot park in the aisles, as that could obstruct entire traffic and movement of materials of vehicles in the parking lot. So obligations need to be fulfilled. The Indian Contract Act of 1872 established uniform contract regulations, followed by key acts like the Negotiable Instruments Act of 1881, the Sale of Goods Act of 1930, the Indian Partnership Act then of 1932, and then the Insurance Act of 1938, the Arbitration Act of 1940. Why were these acts necessary? The Negotiable Instruments Act 1881, it deals with negotiable instruments, that is payments, that is checks, or any other method of payment that you use in a contract. Sale of Goods Act, was needed to ensure that the seller complies to certain rules and cannot be just taking the buyer for granted. Indian Partnership Act, this is where the regulation of business entities was required. So partnership acts, partnership companies were recognized and they got a legal stature in law itself. The Insurance Act, we understood this. When you are transporting material, when it is on the road, it needs to be insured. It needs to be insured even when it is in your warehouse. And the Insurance Act gives you what all is covered, what all is not covered, under what circumstances, and things like that. Now, this is usually done or usually found. These terms, conditions are usually found on the insurance policy that you go with the insurance company. But the insurance company would differ, and these conditions would differ from company to company, considering it to be what is convenient to them. To ensure that it is uniform, the Insurance Act is enforced. The Arbitration Act, most of the time in a buyer and supplier relationship, let's say for example in the supply chain management, there would be a misunderstanding of maybe a delivery schedule or a purchase requirement. Now, many a times it is understanding that actually emanates a dispute which could grow much bigger. Arbitration Act is giving you the legal framework, but we are not talking of actual case representation in a court of law. Arbitrators are appointed through the court or with the understanding of the court, and the entire hearing of the case takes place outside court. So what happens here is both the parties plead their cases or put forward their cases with evidence, with facts, and then there is an arbitrator who is normally a person who is learned enough in that same line of business, as well as has a great knowledge of the law that prevails. He then comes up with, after hearing both the parties, would suggest that this is his recommendation and this is how the dispute should be resolved. The underlying requirement here for the Arbitration Act or following the arbitration process is that both parties should be interested in resolving the issue rather than coming to a win and loss situation. Business law, needs and necessity. Legal awareness is vital for business growth, as commercial law covers every aspect and ensures transparency and efficiency. Now let's look at business transactions. We are all aware that we need to have the GST to be paid, an invoice to be made whenever a sale takes place. Now these are rules and regulations all defined in business law. And awareness of this, many a times you find in establishments which say, if you don't get a receipt, your product is free or your purchase is free. What does this mean? That we comply to that legal aspect of giving you an invoice, because that invoice would then mean you can come back for an exchange or a lot many other things. In the same way, if what we are understanding here is that commercial law covers every aspect of business and ensures that you are transparent with your customers. Of course, it also makes it efficient, which means that if there is no invoice, you can always take a stand and you have the right that whether to look at all your obligations or discount them in the absence of an invoice. It will entirely depend here on what is the policy of the company and how does it look at its own business. Critical aspects of business law that will assist the company. This is under the functions of business law. Let's look at each of them. Business legislation governs corporate ethics and substantive law. It includes code system, structure, and procedural law. It addresses taxation and antitrust laws. It regulates workplace safety and minimum wage. It aims to control pollution and chemical use. Business legislation governs corporate ethics and substantive law. What does this mean? It means that companies would have to, there would be certain time set for the shift, or if there is an office, a time set for the office to work, which means that the corporate office needs, corporate management needs to ensure that this premises is available to the people who are employed in the given time and maybe even beyond if they are required to comply and meet their deadlines. It includes court system, structure, and procedural law. It is defined as to how you proceed if there is a problem and a dispute that you have against another entity or against the government, or you would like to put up a request for the government against in the framework of the law. So there is a court system. What is the procedure? What is the structure? And how will your case get handled? All this is defined under business law. It addresses taxation and antitrust laws. Taxation, we all know, is now under GST. But of course, all corporates, all companies pay income tax on their earnings. That is the corporate income tax, which is different and not covered under GST. And antitrust laws. Now, a supplier and a buyer get into a relationship, or let's say two companies at a much higher level get into a partnership, or a sort of a merger, or a partnership where a third company is brought out. Now, if one company starts hiding facts and figures and creates a situation of antitrust, or rather no trust between the relationship, there is the business law ensures that there is a provision made as to how to handle such situations. It regulates workplace safety and minimum wage, of course, trying to protect the workmen, the employees on the shop floor, because every day you cannot expose them to unsafe working conditions. And of course, they need to be paid at least the minimum wage. Well, it is good to understand that most companies in India are much above the minimum wage, but then they are not really looking at other benefits beyond the wages. It aims to control pollution and chemical use, which is an absolute necessity in today's world and today's conditions of global warming and environment protection. Outlines procedures for company formation and sales. We've understood how, whether it is a proprietorship, whether it's a partnership, or whether it's a corporate company or a public limited company, is what we are looking at in terms of company formation. And of course, how does the sales takes place, which means you have the invoice, a pre-invoice. What is the process that you would follow for your sale? Which kind of distribution network you would use? And how does each entity get protected? What are your rights against as compared to the entities in the entire supply chain process? Covers contract rights, breaches and penalties. So whenever you make a contract, especially when it is a commercial contract, there could be conditions for breaches or for closures or penalties to be paid if there is non-compliance. Governs business structures like partnerships and corporations. What it is doing is, it is giving you rules and regulations as to how you run the company, whether it's a partnership, whether it's a proprietorship, or a public limited company. Includes laws on securities and bankruptcy. You have a lot many investors who have invested money. You're still not a public limited company, and you are not doing profits. So there is a condition that the law says that if you do not make profit for as many so many years, you could file in bankruptcy. Now, when you file in bankruptcy, there's another procedure that you need to follow, bringing all your investors on board and informing them that this is the condition that we are getting into. Assesses the impact of computer technology on business. In today's world, where computer technology is playing such a major role in today's business, it is very important to understand what is the impact of computer technology on business. The good aspect, the good impact, as well as the bad one. So here we understand under the law, which protects us for both the bad as well as what is required as the good impact.